Herald Sun footy analyst and former Collingwood great is Mick McGuan, and he joins us. Welcome, Mick.
G'day, Sammy. Hello, mate.
I'm really well. What have you made of the opening four rounds of the season, Mick?
It's interesting watching the games, probably from a possession-based standpoint. The first month, I think we've seen a lot of lateral ball movement, particularly out of D50, not taking ground. I think we've become a copycat industry in the view that the West Coast Eagles were very successful at their kick mark game, get to 90, good benchmark, win games of footy. But I think a lot of clubs have actually taken that on board to be safer coming out of D50, limit their turnover. A slower build-up gives them a chance to set up their defensive structure behind the ball in case they do turn it over. Mm. But what they are losing out in is a lot of offensive opportunity, hence the reason why the scores are low. I just can't wait for a coach or a coaching panel to have some dare within their game, and probably the Adelaide Crows are a perfect case in point right now. They've got a great opportunity against the Gold Coast, who they've generally monstered over the last 3 or 4 years, to get their attacking profile back, and they certainly need to get that because they're an exciting team to watch when they play that way, but right now they're not.
But so Mick, I think, and you brought up the Crows, I think they're the perfect example. They're a team that the last few years we've known as that breakneck team of halfback, Rory Laird, Brodie Smith. They get it to their forward to a high up the ground and get back running to goal. But on the weekend against North Melbourne, I mean, it clearly looked like they had decided to do the opposite and go slower.
Yeah, well, there's probably times in the dying minutes where you thought they'll attack the 45s short or long through the corridor, have some risk element to their game. The players were winning the ball sort of D50 or even back a centre, and their first thought was to go to boundary. That's insane. That's not trying to win the game. That's more or less what you do when you're trying to save the game. So they've obviously got to train and coach their win-a-game, save-a-game scenarios, and clearly they've got some confusion with how to attack the game when the game's in the balance. Mm. Their ball movement out of D50 and forward 50 was limited on the weekend. I think we have to give credit to North Melbourne and the way they set up the ground. They were really disciplined. Their gap control was great. They certainly squeezed aggressively to limit those opportunities to present themselves with Adelaide. But I just think they're trying to all come to this kick mark game out of D50. Sometimes you need to run and gun it. There's a lot of modes you can use to come out of D50 and attack the game and obviously try to put the defensive structure under pressure. But right now with slow build up, it's easy to set up. Hence the reason as to why you're not seeing a lot of transition from D50 to forward 50.
So Steve Hocking says the jury is still out. Do you agree or are you worried about the trend?
I think they'll adapt, and we generally see 6 week blocks and modules in footy about trends changing. Once everyone sort of sees what others are doing, this is what we now can do. And I think that'll probably take place in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But for some clubs, time's running out in terms of where their win-loss ratios are at. So I think they'll be trying to sort of say, well, right now with what we're doing is not working, it's not getting the result we're after. So we've got to look at the causes, and they'll generally strip it right back and say, well, if that mode of ball movement, if we're going to that kick mark game's not working, maybe the run and gun out of our D50 is something we might have to introduce to our style so we can create another mode to actually challenge the opposition's defensive structure. It might be a way of scoring. It might be a way of winning territory. But right now, you look at that Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs game the other night in the first half. I love footy, but by half time, I was over it. And I just could not believe how two sides who wanted to probably, it was like two heavyweight boxers, wasn't it, really?
Yep.
Neither one was prepared to throw a punch. Yep. They were that guarded and they were playing safe. Collingwood played their best footy last year when Crisp and Langdon and these boys were really attacking the game. Maynard trying to get on the end of some trigger handballs to have a forward mentality and try to get over the back of the zone and score those goals out the back. But we're not seeing a lot of that at footy at the moment. I think that'll certainly be the next trend in the game. They'll try to get ahead of that curve, and it's about the coaching groups who want to be ahead of it, or just do they want to play the copycat mentality and be left behind?
One thing we are seeing plenty of in footy at the moment, Mick, is the warnings for 6, 6 and 6.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. I just can't believe that the AFL have confirmed they'll review the warning aspect of the rule at the end of the 2019. They'll say it's a strong stance. I say it's ludicrous. I reckon it looks amateurish. And there's no doubt it's potentially exploitable. And if players in a professional environment can't get to their starting points within 40 seconds, they need to be penalised. not just given a warning. And currently right now you can get a warning if you do it again and you transgress a second time. The ruckman from the opposition gets a centre bounce infringement. My solution is no warnings. Immediate free kick to the ruckman. And if you transgress again, give a 50-metre penalty from that point and thereafter. Players will stop doing it, coaches will stop implementing it, and I think we'll see a better game because of it.
It's just an easy fix, isn't it, Mick? I don't understand why the AFL would be hanging on to it. I mean, there's 18 professional sporting clubs. They're clearly going to adapt quickly to it. If the AFL turned around tomorrow and said, OK, we've had the first month of footy, you know what a warning is, you know not to do it, we're going to scrap the warning, and the first time you do it, it's an indiscretion and a free kick.
Well, you don't get another warning after a reportable incident. You don't get another warning for a head-eye free kick. You don't get another warning for a push in the back. So why is this any different? So the AFL, as far as I'm concerned, have just got to make the change. I know they've said they won't. They'll probably stand true to that. But as far as I'm concerned, it looks amateurish. It's under 10 stuff. And also the AFL have stated that, you know, in terms of a player or a team transgress a second time, the umpire has also the power to play a 50-metre penalty from the centre bounce if they determine a club is deliberately flouting with the position rule. Now, that's just putting more responsibility on the umpiring fraternity. Who can say some team is doing it deliberately? If the rules state that you do get transgressed, these are the penalties and the sanctions that will happen in game. Everyone knows that, so you won't do it. So as far as I'm concerned, they've made policy on the run. They haven't thought their way through it.
Hard to argue with that. Let's move on to the footy. Your old boys take on the Lions tomorrow night. It's going to be a sellout at the Gabba. An intriguing battle. Where do you think the game's going to be won and lost?
Oh, I think it'll be through the midfield, as most games generally are. How you use it, how much care you take of the footy, what decisions you make with it. And as we see now with teams who win the territory game, it doesn't necessarily translate to hitting the scoreboard. Port Adelaide last week, Melbourne historically this year, before they got the result against the Sydney Swans last week. You just got to take care of the footy going in. And if Collingwood get the numbers right, the balance between offence and defence right, because I suppose that's a question mark at the moment with their midfield mix. Are they working hard as what they should be defensively? Probably 4 weeks ago we spoke to Dane Beams and also wrote an article on him. Probably him as an individual saying that's an aspect of the game that he has to improve. He openly admitted that. And I think if you get sort of him and Pendlebury and say Treloar in the midfield at once, they've got to be responsible for their defensive cover to understand they've got gap control right in their defensive structure. At times it can be all duck, no dinner. And I think they've just got to get that balance right because they've got super talented players who know how to win the footy. That the game's not just about offence. The game's got to be worked on the other side of the ball. And that's a challenge for Nathan Buckley and the match committee to get right, particularly the line coaches through the midfield part of the ground.
So do you think the Collingwood midfielders only run one way?
No, I don't. No. At times they do. But generally speaking, when they play their best footy, they take responsibility of being offensively minded midfielders, gut runners when they have to be. But also they've got to work equally harder or as hard when the opposition win it. And when they do that right, they get a great balance to their game and they get a great balance within the group, within the team, that being the midfield group. And I think when they get that right, they can contend this year for sure. I think West Coast Eagles have got the perfect balance right now. And if there's a measuring stick that other clubs want to look towards, they just only have to look at the mature group they've got, the balance between their offensive work rate and their defensive work rate. And if other clubs want to get to be the best, you've got to match the best and beat the best. And the West Coast Eagles, as far as I'm concerned, are the measuring stick in that part of the ground.
Speaking of the best, Terry Wallace said that Buddy Franklin was being selfish against the Demons. How do you think he's going so far, Big Budwire?
I think he's struggling because of preparation. It's very hard going to play when you haven't had the ideal preparation. From my understanding, he's had a limited preparation going into the season proper. That's a big ask for a key forward. They're struggling as a group. I'm probably strong in my view that as much as they've been successful with their probably absorbing pressure in their D50 and slingshotting it out and trying to score on counter-attack with an emptied-out forward line, that's been super successful. But I think over the last two or three years, the trends have said that you've got to win the territory game, squeeze the ground, keep it in, lock it in, get repeats and probably score on the back of that front half turnover. And that's a challenge for John Longmire to get right. And I think in turn that will help Buddy Franklin if they actually changed the modern game, in essence. I don't think he's selfish at all. I've seen him up the ground. His field kicking is outstanding. He tries to incorporate others into the game when that situation presents itself. But as all good forwards do, and probably they're given the responsibility to do it, if they're in kicking range, why don't they go back and kick a goal? That's what he's paid to do.
Melbourne and the Saints this weekend, I think, is a really interesting contest. If the Saints get close here and even win and go 4-1, we have to start talking about this Saints revival being real, I think, Mick.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They've beaten the Suns. I didn't have them anywhere near the top eight. They've beaten just lost to Fremantle. I didn't have them near the top eight. I think a lot of people would say the same. They were very good against Hawthorn, albeit Hawthorn were a couple of midfielders that were certainly important to them. They lost a couple of injuries in the game. They got over the line by 5 points. And they were pretty good against Essendon, who were disappointing in rounds 1 and 2, and they probably got them at the right opportune time. So how good is their form line? We'll have to let their season pan out. But all you can do is play the opposition you contend with, and you beat them, and they're 3-1 on the back of that. The reason why I think they're in games at the moment is their effort, and their team unity is certainly there for everyone to see. I think they've changed their way, their style. Certainly was pretty chaos, pretty random last year, but I think they're having a safer approach. They're not playing on from marks as much as what they did to play quick. They're not using the corridor as much as what they did to get opened up on turnover. So full credit to the coaching staff and Richo to alter the way they had to go into this season, and it's got them results right now. But the real test is about to come, and Melbourne's a different proposition to the Suns, Essendon, Freo and the Hawks, fully fit on the back of a win, knowing full well that I think a lot of people in the football fraternity had them in the top 4 or 5 candidates going into this year, and they're just starting to turn it around because there's a lot of aspects of the game they're doing it right. They just have to tie up some mechanics of their inside forward 50 entry and also their defensive structure to get a far better balance within their team makeup.
And the Demons are, in fact, a different beast, completely different to all the other teams they've faced, particularly with the Braden Pruce factor. Did you like the combination with Max Gawn last week?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people will be trying that out if they've got 2 recognisable ruckmen, and why not? In the view that both can go forward and draw a long footy, it's aligned to their philosophy. Simon Goodman wants contest. On the back of contest, you get territory. And with territory, you need a marking target. You look at Carlton at the moment, they probably haven't got their balance right. I'm pretty strong in the view that they're playing Charlie Curnow fair too high. They're trying to create an athlete into the game of footy. I don't think he sees the game that well when he's high. If he's the anchor, the last man in that forward 50 chain, I think he plays much better. And I see no reason why Pruce and Gawn can't provide that opportunity considering Jesse Hogan's not there. Tom McDonald, he is now the number one. Jake Melksham becomes the number two. I'm not sure whether they're good enough to play in that role, considering you're playing against the opposition's best defenders in 1v1s. So I think Pruce and Gawn can provide more probably responsibility in that forward part of the ground to the team. And that creates some predictability. If they are there, they know they're going to provide a strong contest. If they don't mark it, generally it'll come to a front and square position where their smalls can get to work. And I think that's one thing that Carlton have to look at as well. So where they're playing Charlie Curnow, I think they have to make that adjustment because right now they're not getting the maximum out of him. And I think he's such a super talent. I reckon he's being coached out of games rather than coached into games. And they're creating less predictability going forward because he's not impacting games of footy because of his starting position.
Mick, appreciate your time. Always a pleasure to chat. We'll read all your analysis further in the Herald Sun in your columns.
No worries, fellas. Good on you.